From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin. In a few minutes, living one crisis away at the holidays. Our series returns with a look back at the history of credit card debt since the days Bing Crosby was crooning during wartime. We'll start with a look ahead at what could be a pretty rugged holiday weekend weather-wise. An Arctic cold front is headed this way. Rain will roll in Thanksgiving evening and drench North Texas over the weekend. Amanda Schroeder with the National Weather Service in Fort Worth says Black Friday shoppers had better pack an umbrella.
Rain's going to enter back into the forecast on Wednesday, then increase in likelihood Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday all the way through the weekend. Right now it looks like between 5 and 7 inches are possible along and north of Interstate 20. Black Friday will probably be very wet and could potentially have some travel concerns because of all of the rainfall.
And it'll be a cold rain. Temperatures drop into the 50s on Friday, all the way to the upper 30s on Saturday. It's bad enough for folks staying local. Those headed north could really have a challenge thanks to freezing rain and sleet.
Winter weather could affect areas far north of us. Closest areas to North Texas would probably be far northwestern Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. And then going farther north from Oklahoma and going into Kansas and Colorado.
And for those going west, Schroeder counsels patience.
If you're driving or flying into areas into Colorado, at the Panhandle of Texas, New Mexico, those kinds of areas, because they are expecting a mixed bag of wintry precipitation starting Thursday evening and potentially running through Saturday, it could get a little dicey the farther west you go as well.
At this point, the sun is not projected to make a return until everyone returns to work and school on Monday. We're only 2 days away from one of the great heartwarming holidays, Thanksgiving, which means we're only 3 days away from this. That's the sound of Black Friday last year when doors opened at a Walmart in Houston. The pressure to shell out for gifts, decorations, food, travel, it can push families to spend money they just don't have. The average American is carrying nearly $10,000 in credit card debt. In Texas, the number's 6,600. Today, KERA begins a new chapter in our ongoing look at life on the financial edge. One crisis away at the holidays. To kick things off, Courtney Collins traces the modern-day history of retail spending and debt, from department store charge accounts to wallets packed with plastic.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
In 1945, Bing Crosby released 10 tracks of Yuletide Cheer and Optimism. His famous album, Merry Christmas.
What fun to ride and sing in a one-horse open sleigh, dashing through the snow.
It came out the same year World War II ended. The post-war American economy was glowing with health. Through the 1950s and 60s, wages were steadily rising, and people were ready to spend, especially during the holidays.
And Christmas morning, still a joy, finding the little things you wanted. A car, a doll, a toy whistle, and look, Tootsie Rolls.
Some cautious consumers put items on layaway. Others opened Christmas Club accounts at their local bank, putting aside a few dollars a week. A lot of shoppers took a different approach.
We all hear how our parents and grandparents never borrowed any money, but they borrowed all the time. They just borrowed in different ways.
Louis Hyman is professor of business history at Cornell. Back in the 1950s, there wasn't credit card debt as we know it today, just department store charge accounts people paid off each month. Hyman says in the post-war era, that department store credit was status quo for the middle class.
These wardrobe essentials are on sale through Saturday at Sears, where America shops for value.
In the 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s even, the credit you received was tied to a particular store. So, for instance, you could get your Neiman Marcus card, and you could shop at Neiman Marcus. And Neiman Marcus didn't take any other kind of credit card. This was true until the late 1970s.
Hyman says that kind of credit card kept customers loyal and coming back. And because the American economy was growing, families could generally pay those bills at the end of the month.
Wages just kept going up and up and up, so that if you borrowed today, you could expect to make more in the future.
Things started to change in the 1970s. Namely, wages stalled for the average worker, usually the man of the house.
And for about 15, 20 years, that effect was hidden because it's exactly that moment when women begin to enter the workforce in huge numbers.
So total household incomes were still going up, which meant people could still keep up with those department store credit accounts. In 1977, folks were carrying an average credit card balance of $330, according to the Federal Reserve. But many people still didn't even have credit cards. Fast forward to the next decade, and consumer spending changes dramatically.
There's a big recession in the early 80s, and interest rates go way up. After those interest rates fall, credit card companies find they can still charge people very high interest rates. And so they're able to lend to more and more riskier clients.
Even into the late 80s, credit cards were making their way into the mainstream. About a third of families still didn't have them.
If you think back to watching Pretty Woman, there's this exciting moment where Julia Roberts has access to a credit card, and it's a sign of her affluence.
The stores are not nice to people. I don't like it.
Stores are never nice to people. They're nice to credit cards.
Words of wisdom from Richard Gere in the movie from 1990. Soon after that came securitization, the process of bundling and selling debt. That meant credit cards for pretty much everyone. Holiday shopping in the 90s was all about the plastic.
And really, the class signification of credit cards begins to change from one of prosperity to one of financial insecurity.
By 1998, average credit card debt was close to $4,100. When the recession hit in 2008, lending ground to a halt, and many lower-income people who'd relied on credit cards to holiday shop couldn't get approved anymore. Big box stores like Kmart and Walmart had one solution.
And it's after this moment that we see the return of layaway. Big retailers roll it back in style.
Lewis Hyman says when hot toys and electronics were scarce, layaway made sense. Now that stores have a seemingly endless supply of merchandise, he's not a fan.
It's actually really expensive.
Here's how he explains it. If you decide to buy a $100 toy on layaway in mid-October, you'll need to put about $10 down and pay a $5 fee to hold your purchase.
So $90 borrowed, $5 fee, 2 months, gives you an annual percentage rate of 44%. Now, this is about double what you would get on a credit card.
Which brings us to today. Shopping is tricky. Layaway will cost you, and unless you pay off credit cards in a few short months, that interest will pile up fast. Also, job security can be shaky, and wages are flat. Hyman says the best bets are always advance planning, a savings account, and sometimes just saying no.
Ultimately, there are limits to how much we can let our heart decide on our spending. You know, we have to be grown-ups. I think kids, after all, want parents' love. They don't just want the newest gizmo.
Pretty paper.
And with Apple Watches, Xboxes, and Doc McStuffins dolls, there are plenty of gizmos to go around. Paying for them? That's a different story.
Pretty pencils to write, I love you.
Courtney Collins, KERA News.
Pretty paper, pretty ribbons of blue.
Trace the history of retail spending at kera.org/holidays. And that's where you'll find the story of a small business in North Texas that's banking on a good holiday season after a slow start to the year.
Christmas is nigh. There he sits all alone.
From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin.
Hoping that you won't pass.